broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for February the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide that absolutely we're convinced. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Our websites for donations and listen live on demand, or I should say live and or on demand, are all free, but donations are welcome at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, share the love, would you please. Now, a recap of yesterday's broadcast certainly is in order. It all starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, founder and president of CSPOA. That's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Now, Richard Mack says the CSPOA is a partnership between citizens and local law enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important to understand that you got to stand with your sheriffs. We got to work together. They want you to believe there should be a breach between the cops and the people. We reject that notion and say back the blue when they're true. How's that? Welcome. Hope you're doing fantastic. We also had another guest on, a courageous whistleblower, an American hero, if you will. Her name is Nurse Erin. Erin Olszewski, I think is how you say it. And she created a book called Undercover Epicenter Nurse. That's right, Undercover Epicenter Nurse. How fraud, negligence, and greed led to unnecessary deaths at Elmhurst Hospital in New York. Erin Olszewski doing a great job as our guest. Erin's a nurse, by the way, turned investigative journalist who has spent the last few months on the front line of the coronavirus scandals. Pandemic. She was enlisted in the Army when she was 17, and now she leveled her accusations about intentional deaths and bogus protocols that do not work and more in a documentary series called Perspectives on the Pandemic. Anyway, there you have that. We also asked this question, really, because I believe government is just out of control, folks, just absolutely out of control. Will rogue, unaccountable government agents cause the next civil war? I pray the answer is no, folks, but we are getting to the point where there is no redress of grievance whatsoever for the American people. There's no freedom of speech without it getting shanghaied by insurrectionists, and then they blame it on those who order the peaceful, or I should say put together the peaceful assembly in the first place, right? Your free speech is, you know, on the altar everywhere. You don't have anywhere to go for solutions. They're going to cause a serious problem. We also celebrated National Pizza Day, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, man, businesses across the nation are celebrating with discounted pizza and a whole lot more. Man, I ate a bunch of pizza. I ate a bunch of pizza yesterday. Hope you did as well. And there you go. I told everybody that I loved almonds on pizza, and somebody else came back and said, hey, I don't put squirrel food on my pizza. Yeah, that's kind of funny. All I'm telling you is you ought to try it sometime. You're missing out. That's all I can tell you. We also talked about the fact that the Super Bowl ads were indeed sold out, many at record prices, according to, quote, Front Office Sports. Multiple 30-second ads. That I guess it was 30-second spot, $7 million, 20% up from even a year ago. Wow. Big money, $7 million for a 30-second commercial. We could run our radio network for like a decade on that kind of money, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. We also talked about not just CNN, ladies and gentlemen. Mainstream media is on the ropes. In a commentary by Roger L. Simon, he unfolds the details of his viewpoints. He's spot on right. Temporarily averting a shutdown, ladies and gentlemen, the House passes short-term funding. They say once the bill clears the Senate, they'll be out of the woods once again, at least until March 11th. They'll try to figure out then how to fund the government for the entire year, but it's a sham. It's a scam. It's dishonest. And folks, they're raising the debt ceiling over and over and over again. But don't worry, the swig from the economic bottle of false prosperity, I guess, will continue. But I'm just telling you right now, the headache and the hangover and the whatever you want to say, repercussions on the back end of this is only getting worse. It's not getting better, ladies and gentlemen. It's a false premise to think we can drink our way out of this thing, or we can spend our way out of this thing. You got to get used to the reality. The sooner we face the music, the better off we will be. We also talked about a group of House Republicans that agreed they would like to keep the January 6th commission in play. That's if they win the elections. They say they'll ask the Democrats key questions they were not able to ask now because they don't have any control. The sham in that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Republican Party is so divided that the swamp monsters will never get to the bottom of it. Whether it's the Federal Reserve selling us down the river, whether it's Obamacare, whether it's whose appointees are on the Supreme Court, they want you to believe the Republicans are the conservative guys, and in rhetoric, they certainly are. And there's a few Republicans that do toe the line and do the best they can. Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and a few others come to mind. They're far from perfect, but they do a pretty good job. But you know what? They're shanghaied by the... what do you want to call it? Swamp monster Republicans? That's really the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, that the Republicans mean well, but it's almost, we got it done. Almost, you just got to wait another election cycle, just got to try to get another good guy Republican in there, but you're always shanghaied by the one or two or three or four or five or ten hardcore socialist Republican dissenters, don't you know? So this idea that we're almost there and everything else, absolutely bogus. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. All I can tell you is we've got to really stand up for what matters most. We got to realize that you can't just always hope that we're getting close. You can't just say, oh, we're so close, almost there, and never hit pay dirt, never reach the milestones. It's a serious problem. It's something that must be really discussed. Let me give you an example to make the point. There's now supposedly a rift between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It turns out that Ron says it's not true. Ron DeSantis insists that narrative of, quote, Trump rivalry is totally bogus. Trump's a friend of mine, says Ron. Now, I believe Ron. I don't believe Ron's lying about this. Okay, I think that they may have their differences. Everybody has their own opinions, beliefs on things. They might have slight differences. But let's not believe for a second that Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump are in a big old tiff. Let's not assume that they're going to fight over the possible 24 bid for presidency. And okay, we're not even close to that. We haven't seen anything like that. This is a made-up battle between DeSantis and Trump by the enemies of these two gentlemen in an effort to try to sow hatred, anger, distrust, mistrust, whatever, right? Look, I don't know if DeSantis and Trump are on the same page exactly or not, but it's a made-up fight in the media to stir up contention and trouble. It's not real. It's not honest, okay? Ron says, hey, Trump's a friend of mine. They might differ on a few things, but that's okay. What do you expect? Do you expect Ron to run in 24 against Don? Are Don and Ron really going to run against each other in a primary? See, I don't see it. I don't think so. Donald Trump has way more support right now than Ron DeSantis does, even though I believe Ron's more true blue than Don. Just my two cents, my opinion, to which I'm entitled. Don't shoot the messenger, please. But all I'm telling you is I don't believe it's a fight between the two. And I also personally believe that Ron's better than Don, but both of them misunderstand the Constitution. Both of them, even though they're better than most, you know what? Don't get the Constitution. Neither of them would abolish the Federal Reserve. Neither of them would shut down the Education Department. Neither of them would jettison Roe versus Wade. Neither, okay, they would talk big, but they really wouldn't get it done. Neither of them would get to the bottom of the Barack Obama birth certificate scandal. Okay, they're better than most, Don and Ron. But they're not in a fight. And they're not as constitutional or true blue as I would be. I'll tell you that right now. All right. But you know what? I don't think they're in a fight. In fact, what would you think about a Don Ron ticket? What about a Donald Trump slash Ronald? Ron DeSantis ticket? What do you think about that for 2024? Do you think they're going to fight? Or do you think they're going to come together in a meaningful way? Or do you think they're going to work it out and Ron's going to say, Don, go one more time in 24. I can take it on in 28, 32, 36, whatever it be, right? See, I don't think there's a big old tiff or a rift between these people in the way they want you to believe. I think it's a dishonest lie. Anyway, Ron insists that the so-called rivalry between him and Trump is absolutely a bogus myth. Yeah, totally bunk. And I think Ron's telling you the truth on that. I really do. Anyway, there you have it. Now, you heard about Biden's plan for crack pipes and Biden allowing people to do dope in safe places and everything else. And this is crazy. Taxpayer funded. Sadly, we have so many taxpayer-funded shams and fiascos, it's beyond imagination. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, all right, enough of that. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Brian Rust of RustQuinnGift.com. We're going to be talking about honest money. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin. There's another big old Bitcoin scandal. Remember how I say don't dip your toe in the crypto? That's why. They want you to believe you can't scam it, folks. It's independent transactions, all transparent on the blockchain. No problem there, right? And unhackable. Oh, they lied. More details in seconds. I warned you. Don't dip your toe in the crypto. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable live.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked to
hear
that.
You actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Joining me now is Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, Brian and family at RustCoinAndGift.com has been working to educate Americans and people around the world about precious metals, about the importance of taking possession of your metal and acting as a, what do you want to call it? The coin doctor, a coin expert, a professional in the coin business, your buddy in the coin business. All these terms apply when Brian Rust helps you take possession of your constitutional gold and silver. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you very much, Sam. Glad to be back with you.
Are we going to call you Dr. Money now?
Yeah, I guess maybe. Well, there's times where Maybe I've got to, you got some toning or some corrosion or something on a coin that I might have to doctor. No, I don't know.
All right, we'll just call you the coin doctor, man. This guy knows what's going on. We got to surgically remove the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. And nobody better than Brian Rust, the coin doctor, to get her done. By the way, let's talk about honest money. Where's gold sitting, sir?
Gold, $1,831.70.
Okay.
Silver, $2,345.
Man, it sits around there a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the beast with when you have manipulation. You just kind of, in past years, you figure, okay, we're going to war maybe or possibly. Even just the talk of that, basically, you'd see tremendous increases right off the bat.
Where's rhodium sitting?
Another day. Rhodium's sitting at 18,900. So it's
up a little bit, right?
Yeah, that jumped $1,000.
Kurt just totally rocked on this one. Woo, Kurt, yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that's
right. You can buy me a boat and a truck to pull it. Come on now. There you go.
That's right.
All right, let's have some fun. I got two stories. One of them, the second one's not funny, but you're going to have to laugh about it. But it's not funny. It's very serious. How do you laugh about serious matters? I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's the first one. I've been telling everybody forever, Brian, don't dip your toe in the crypto. And people laugh at me and they go, Sam, you just don't understand the technology. And by golly, we're not going to risk everything. We're just going to get in. And then it's a little bit like the gold rush. People kind of invest more than they should have. And then it kind of goes south. And then I tell everybody that it can be hacked. And people say, you're crazy. Come on now. It's open source. It's all on the blockchain. It's all transparent. Don't worry. It's all good. And then people get hacked. And then I go, see, told you. And then they go, yeah, whatever. And it wasn't like you think, Sam. And then they go on and on and on and on. All right. Well, I got the story, the motherload story for you now, Brian. You ready?
Yeah.
In 2016, around $71 million of Bitcoin got hacked, okay? It was stolen, ladies and gentlemen, when the Bitfinex cryptocurrency exchange was hacked. So this is one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world. It got hacked, okay? For $71 million back in 16. That's only, like 6 years ago, Brian?
Yeah.
The dollar amount of that crypto then was $71 million when the hack took place in 2016. Now they say its value today is $4.5 billion, Brian.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. $71 million to $4.5 billion in 6 years. And this is between when the hack happened and now. Well, it turns out that feds then seized mind-boggling crypto hack money. Is the largest seizure of funds in the Department of Justice's history, Brian.
Wow.
Then they say federal authorities arrested two people, Lila Lichtenstein and Heather Morgan, for the crime. Now, the headline then says federal law enforcement has demonstrated once again that we can follow money through the blockchain and that we will not allow cryptocurrency to be a safe haven for money laundering or lawlessness within our financial money system. We're not going to allow a zone of lawlessness within our financial system. Now, this is the Assistant Attorney General, Kenneth, I guess is Polite, is that his name? Or Polite? P-O-L-I-T-E. Anyway, Kenneth Polite, he's being really polite about this too, by the way. Anyway, that's what he said about the thing. So I look at this and I just go, what on earth? You got a bunch of aspects to this story. First off, you got Bitcoin stolen when a hacker made, they say, around 2,000 unauthorized transactions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to tell me the Bitcoin's blockchain's transparent, every transaction you can see openly transparent, how did this guy make 2,000 transactions before people got wise to the hack? I'm just asking because I'm kind of stupid, right? Lack technical knowledge and such. But then they say federal prosecutors said that this guy and gal, this couple, this married couple, moved the funds through what are called elaborate cryptocurrency transactions. Now, how do you have elaborate cryptocurrency transactions if they're all publicly there for everybody to see, unhackable there on the blockchain, Ryan? How do you do that? Now, then prosecutors say the FBI then tracked the movement of the cryptocurrency, which went through a, quote, they call it dark net exchange linked to major crimes, reports the Reuters News Service. Wait a minute now. This is all above board, unmanipulatable on the blockchain there and such like that. And what's going on around here? What is happening with this? And so there's so many aspects to this story to talk about, Brian. I just want to open it up and have you comment first. Then I'll walk you through the details that are just shocking on so many fronts.
Well, it's kind of very interesting how, first of all, they lost. We're starting to hear, I guess, about some of this. I don't remember hearing the story in 16 about the hacked.
No, that was back when they didn't want you to believe it was hackable. When I was telling you that it was, and everybody said, you don't even understand, Sam. The FBI and Sam Bushman sure understood, didn't we?
Right. And, there you go. And then the feds have been able to follow the trail of this thing into the dark. I guess it's like the underground. Is that kind of what it is? We used to call it the...
Yeah, it's like the dark, go net, underground. The dark web of mysterious... crime-ridden right. transactions, Brian.
That's right. So
all above board, transparent on the blockchain, don't you know?
Yeah, it seems that way. So let me ask you. I mean, so as the feds, they've seized the money. This $4.5 billion now. I guess what's the deal there?
Well, they didn't get it all. They've only got part of it, Brian.
Oh, okay.
Now, right. See, that's the other interesting twist to this story. They were able to trace most of it, Brian.
Okay.
So I got a question. Yeah. Why can you trace some of it but not all of it?
Right.
It's all on the blockchain, Brian. Don't you know it's transparent, unhackable, unmanipulatable, public source codes everywhere. There's no way that anybody can mess with this deal, dude. Come on now.
Yeah. So they're learning
like
the process.
Solid.
Maybe they're learning the process because they got half of it.
And that's... And that's exactly the point, Brian. I do believe the government's
right.
learning the process. And some of it's above board. Some of it they have hacker, or what do you want to call it? So let me ask the question. Did the government hack the hackers?
Yeah, maybe. That's right.
I mean, I just don't understand. If it's all above board on the public blockchain there and it's all transparent and unmovable, unhackable, first off, I don't understand how the hack took place. Then I don't understand how this couple were able to take advantage of the hack somehow and get a piece of this thing. And then I also don't understand how the government can track part of it, but not all of it. Is there a magic part that's untrackable versus the trackable part? And what's the differences there? Would they shed some light on the detail? Oh, no, Brian, it's under investigation right now, don't you know?
Right.
Can't talk about that. 6 years later, millions of dollars turned into billions. Hackers are hacking government hackers are hacking the hackers who couldn't hack in the first place because it's all transparent, don't you know? And then they tell you that they can get part of it, but not all of it, but they don't tell you how or why. Then they say, hey, make no mistake, we'll trace this down. We'll get you. We're not going to allow the money supply to be tainted, but yet they admit they don't have it all.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm just like really stupid. I get all the, put all this together, and none of it adds up to me.
There you go.
But you want to know what adds up to me, Brian?
What's that?
The gold and silver I have tucked away, buddy. It's solid as a rock.
There you go.
All right, hang tight. Brian Russ with me. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I just marvel at this kind of stuff. And then people just be like, Sam, if you just understood the technology. Okay, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Tesla is being sued in California over allegations of systemic racial discrimination. A state regulatory agency announced late Wednesday. Tesla said ahead of the lawsuit that such an action was misguided. Bob Saget's cause of death has been discovered. The family revealed an official report saying Saget accidentally hit the back of his head on something, thought nothing of it, and went to sleep. After a closed-door briefing on Wednesday, senators raised concerns about Iran's nuclear program and the small amount of time it would take to attain a nuclear weapon. Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat from Connecticut.
And it is absolutely imperative that the United States Senate provide this administration with the support it needs to effectuate an agreement.
Republican Senator James Risch from Idaho said, "You're just not dealing with people who want to be reasonable," end quote. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Water. It's essential to life, but it's also something that so many of us here in America take for granted. Imagine how different your life would be without access to clean water in your home. What if you had to walk to the nearest creek, stream, lake, or pond to get water? Suddenly, going to work and school wouldn't be an option because you and your children would have to spend your days collecting water. This is the day-to-day reality of most families living in the world's poorest countries. But what if I told you that you can change that reality for just pennies a day? Through our water projects, Food for the Poor is working to meet the need for water in 17 impoverished countries. But it won't happen without you. Incredibly, it only takes $15 to provide a child access to clean water for life. $15. Decades and decades of access to water for a child. Give the life-changing gift of water now. Just text USA Radio to 91999. Text USA Radio, all one word, to 91999.
As the crisis at the border continues, the Biden administration wants to try something different.
The Biden administration is putting hundreds of illegal immigrants under house arrest in a test program aimed at slashing costs amid the soaring number of crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border. The home curfew pilot program in Baltimore and Houston would include 100 to 200 single adults in each location. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich says this program will be costing you money.
Yeah, it's obvious that the Biden administration is systematically trying to not only dismantle ICE, but essentially eliminate our entire southern border. And the taxpayers, hardworking middle-class taxpayers, are going to subsidize this progressive left social experiment. And unfortunately, it's going to be all of us are going to pay the cost in increased crime, in increased drug addiction, and really destruction in our inner cities.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
We're talking about this massive cryptocurrency hack in 2016, $71 million. We're talking about in 6 short years, it's now worth $4.5 billion. The hack happened. The money was moved through all kinds of darknet weird things. Don't worry, the government, the FBI, and the Justice Department, they're on it for you. They were able to trace, well, most of it. You know, there you go. Now, here's what's fascinating about this, Brian, and I want you to respond in detail to these points. Here's the first one. The thefts, they say, underscored the security vulnerabilities. Security vulnerabilities in the relatively new world of cryptocurrency, Brian.
Wow. Okay, so there were some there were some issues in there, I guess, right? Is that what they're saying? There's some...
Yeah, security vulnerability. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't quite as secure as they thought? Is that what the...
Well, as the people thought, now maybe the government knew that it wasn't secure the whole time. I don't know that. But yeah, you're right.
Right. Right.
The people thought that it was a whole lot more secure than it ended up to being there.
Well, that was kind of the word that was out there, I think. I say, okay, they can't track this. They can. This thing's so secure. It kind of this blockchain and so on. You know, one interesting thing that I think kind of from this thing is, you know, the people jump into these kind of, technology, it's a new investment perhaps, and they see a lot of people getting rich. I mean, they saw, you know, these first initial people that kind of jumped into it, And then all these other people, the talk was there. They jumped into it. People were, you know, making hundreds of thousands of dollars. People were buying homes. But I kind of think, too, if I remember, they were buying these homes and big, rich. I mean, they made all this money, and they put it, but, you know, the people were made all this money. And I remember some reports or something that, okay, wait a minute. They made all this money. There's some tax issues, and they were having to pay back, you know, because of the profitability they made. I mean, they were tracking them back then. I remember some of those stories. So perhaps most people, I don't know, they weren't thinking too much about it. They were just jumping in because it was that kind of get rich quick thing, multi-level. It almost sounds like the people at the top really made a lot of money. The people bottom didn't. I don't know. So it seems to be that kind of a trend again. It's new. It's exciting. People are making money. This 18-year-old just bought a house for $500,000 where before, I mean, what? Wow. Everybody wants to do that anyway. So it's kind of interesting.
Now, there's one guy that was involved here, this Liechtenstein guy. He goes by Dutch, and he's an American and Russian citizen. However that works out is beyond me again. But I find this interesting now. They say to obtain anonymity, they allow these transactions to go through a whole plethora of secret transactions. Now, here's an interesting thing. They say that this guy's a tech entrepreneur, and the girl is like a entrepreneur and a writer. Man, that's pretty entrepreneurial there. Now, it says in the complaint, this is interesting about this, where this couple's in trouble. The complaint also accuses the couple. And this is interesting. I don't understand this very well. Accuses the couple of conspiracy, Brian, to defraud the United States.
Oh. So, okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, so basically that means that possibly the United States had the investment somewhat themselves, and they've been hacked, and it's kind of our government playing that game, or is that? I mean, I could see maybe a hack, you know, ripping off individuals. I guess they hacked into this company, I guess, and took that. But how did that affect the U.S.? Or it's, we just can't allow this to happen because that's more control.
Well, and that's what I understand. If this is like private money, everybody wants you to believe it's decentralized, government doesn't have control, then how on earth in an arrest, in this complaint for the arrest, would it accuse the couple of conspiracy to defraud the United States? I don't really get it.
Maybe they used certain computers which were off limits, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't. These are our private computers. You can't hack into these private. I don't know.
Now, they say the lack of regulation has led to a host of problems in the world of virtual currency exchanges, threatening to impair consumer confidence in cryptocurrencies and to slow widespread adoption. Now, why would the government want widespread adoption of these systems in the first place if they don't have control of it, Brian?
Well, that's a good point. They must be at the controlling factor, and they're losing control, maybe.
Here's the interesting thing, too. They say this, in some cases, the instance of hacking drastically affected cryptocurrency values. After the hacking of Bitfinex, one of the largest exchanges in the history of the cryptocurrency markets, the value of Bitcoin initially plunged over 20% alone, Brian.
Yeah. We can't have that.
I just don't understand about that.
Well, the fear, isn't it the fear factor of, wait a minute, I thought this stuff was, so people were, I got to get out.
I guess so, but man, it just dropping on that old hack there, woo. Man, I don't want my value just subject to hackability there.
Yeah.
Sam broke. Hackability there got him. Now, they say the first Bitcoin exchange They call it MT Gox. I don't know if you know, but it collapsed back in 2014, Brian, after hackers breached its security systems. And then they siphoned away $500 million back then in customer money. So there you go. What do you think of that one?
Well, I think that the thing is that I guess that's scary per se is that if we, I don't know if we're really trying to push everything digital, which is obviously a scare because if this is digital and this can be hacked and we want to go cashless because then, you know, it's just easy to transact and we can kind of, well, it also causes a lot of issues because if it's this easy to kind of hack in when you can't really, it shouldn't have been hacked. It was so proven fact that it was secure that it just the red flag basically says, okay, well, let's just go digital because that's just going to be easier and we'll be able to watch everything. And obviously here's the issues.
You ready for the final takeaway of the story?
Sure.
Now the government says we're going to start to look into and crack down on these Bitcoin or these cryptocurrency exchanges because a lot of leaders of the exchanges might be involved in criminal activity, Brian.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So now think about it. Even the exchange holders, creators, runners, whatever you want. I don't know what you call them, exchange executioner. What are they called? The people that run the exchanges there, they might be involved in criminal activity while they tell the public it's unhackable and totally traceable. And, well, not really traceable, but don't worry, it's all on the blockchain. You got it?
That's right. I'm trying to
it's
get it.
It's untraceable there. You can't have the government trace it, although the government says they can at least partially. But then they say, don't worry, it's all transparent. How is it untraceable but transparent, Brian?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Can you tell
right.
stupid people like me the answer to that?
That's right. I wish, well, maybe there's another word. It's not the blockchain that we want to use, but maybe some other word that really kind of, it's a double shift. I don't know. That's very good.
Yeah, what do they call that? A cluster in the army there?
It's a sleight of hand or what is, I don't know.
Hey, man, we got this totally transparent, untraceable currency here. Sounds like the Federal Reserve, Brian, all over again.
Yeah, hey, there you go. That's right.
Everybody can be in the Federal Reserve now, Brian.
That's right. You've got it. You fit it.
And then I'm like, hey, man, this isn't adding up. And people are like, man, if you just had a degree in this stuff, Sam, then you'd get it.
Right.
You'd understand, Aaron. Right. What do you think about those Biden-provided taxpayers for crack pipes now? Joe Biden wants a safe place for folks to do dope, so he wants to give crack pipes and give you a safe place to shoot up. And if you you overdose or whatever, just have government back Narcanon to bring you on down and all this kind of stuff. And that's Joe's latest foray, while Bitcoin and all these other cryptocurrencies run off the rails, Brian.
Yeah, it's one more thing. What's next, right?
Wow, Fed sees mind-boggling sum. It's the largest seizure of funds in the Department of Justice's history. Woo, baby, hang tight, Liberty Roundtable Live. Let's talk about your heart coming up, shall we?
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, Brian. Brian, rest with me. Restcoinandgift.com doing a phenomenal job. You've got a friend in the coin business. I'm calling him Dr. Currency. Dr. Real Money is what I'm going to. How about that? Dr. Real Money. Dr. Yeah. Honest Money is what we're calling this guy. Is the new name. Dr. Honest Money. I've settled on it. What do you think of that, Cameron? Dr. Yeah. Honest Money's on your radio. Yeah, man. Anyway, Dr. Honest Money's with me. Now, I want you to switch, Brian. We can't laugh about this. I know we laugh about these Bitcoin fiascos and everything, but this is serious now. I don't want you to laugh, okay?
All right.
No laughing, brother. Now listen up. You ever heard of broken heart syndrome?
I have heard of that.
BHS, my friend.
Okay.
Broken heart syndrome is serious indeed, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess they say it's on the rise, especially among older women. And broken heart syndrome, you might say, well, what the heck is that, Sam? They say it's a real illness, and it's triggered by physical or emotional stress. And they say broken heart syndrome causes the heart's main pumping chamber to temporarily enlarge and pump poorly. And patients experience chest pain, shortness of breath, and symptoms similar to those of a heart attack. And this is seriously, this is rising, and it's a big problem. And they say that the broken heart syndrome is real. If you survive the initial onset of it when it really happens, then you're likely to slowly recover. But believe it or not, people are dying of this broken heart syndrome, Brian. This is very serious. And, you know, I can relate it to currency in just a second. But all I can tell you is that it's a serious condition that people are experiencing. Disappointment, despair, discouragement, all these things underlie the stress that really results in broken heart syndrome, Brian.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think of this one?
Well, it sounds serious.
Now, I believe it is serious, and I believe it's a real condition. Now, I know a lot of people kind of mock it and just go, oh, my gosh, they got a broken heart, no big deal, toughen up, ride it out, whatever you want to call it. But this is serious, and here's what I find fascinating. In the scriptures, they don't call it broken heart syndrome. But in the Bible, they say men's hearts shall fail them, Brian.
Right. I remember that.
I find a link to this that I find very scary and fascinating all at the same time. And I think when you have dishonest money in society, I think that undergirds dishonesty everywhere. Every single transaction has a dishonest underpinning in it. And I see a relationship, Brian, between currency, broken heart syndrome, and scripturally, men's hearts shall fail them. Men means mankind in this case. And anyway, I look at this and I go, there's got to be a correlation, doesn't there?
Yeah. I think you hit something here. I agree.
Think of that. Broken heart syndrome, and then men's hearts shall fail them. What do we do about it is the real question, I guess, right? What do we got to do to have men's hearts not fail them? I got a thought or two, Brian, but I want to get your mind first.
Well, I think, and I've been saying all along, I mean, obviously, I think we need to turn to God. I think we need to put our house in order, meaning that we prepare. I mean, preparation, allows us to have peace of mind. We're not like a puppet. We had driven here and there, but we put our, prepared ourselves for perhaps times when we might, be hit with a time where we need some extra money or food or whatever it may be. And it also gives us an opportunity to serve others, and things like that, which I think help in instead of, maybe in the mud wallowing in and the stress and all that, because we haven't prepared and what do we do next type thing. So that's my thought there.
Yeah, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Luke 21, men's hearts failing them for fear. This is serious business, man. Yeah, men's hearts shall fail them for fear. And I bring this up, folks, because really you got to ask the question. If men's hearts are failing them, if people are suffering from broken heart syndrome, suicides are up and everything to this degree, what do you do about it? How to recover from a broken heart seems to make sense to me. The Huffington Post has 10 tips, but I don't look at their tips as making sense for me, Brian. But I will say this. I believe the way you recover from a broken heart is you start with honesty in all your dealings, Brian. You start with honest money to where people can count on this, every transactional exchange that, it's on the up and up. It's honest. It's transparent. It's not like Bitcoin transparent, where it's so transparent you don't know where it goes or how it happens or through the dark internet or whatever, darknet. It would be an honest transaction from start to finish financially. And the reason I put that at the core is because if you have honest financial transactions, now it's honest. It's possible to be honest in all your dealings. Without that, I really don't see how you can.
Right. I agree.
But I look at that, and I look at fear being at the source of all this, and I think that God's plan is the opposite of fear. It's faith. I put this all together and just go, wow, there's something to this scripturally speaking. And what we can do is we can deal with this, Brian, in my mind, by honesty in our dealings, first of all.
Right. I agree. I think that you've hit a key, because all that gives a feel good. It makes us, we're doing the right things. We're treating people the way that we would like to be treated, and have the more love and we're able to, if our house is in order, we're able to bless the lives of those around us, and things move forward in a great thing. I think we're in today's world, there's so much clutter in our lives, and there's almost all this, so many twisted things here and there, and we so on. It really gives that fear factor to a lot of people. What do I do? What's next? So the stress levels and so on, like you say, the broken heart syndrome really comes into play, because there's a lot of people that are just not prepared, or they don't have, they don't know what to do. And yet you've hit a good point. Absolutely.
Now, I bring it up because I think there's solutions to this, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? In the country realm, so it's God, family, country, but in the country realm, I think honest money would be the answer. And you start by auditing the Federal Reserve. You start by eventually shutting down the Federal Reserve. But on the way, you create, an opportunity for competing currencies. That's what you do. You get rid of unconstitutional agencies that literally prey on the people and create fear. The average parent that wants to go down to the school doesn't dare now to try to correct sex perversion or whatever government, fiasco is going on. The crisis of the day at government school, if you will. People are fearful. They're afraid they're going to be called a domestic terrorist and, run afoul of government there and get arrested or have problems. This is fear everywhere. So shut down unconstitutional agencies and return to honest money. Is the starting point for the country. When you go to your family, it's looking at God-given, God-ordained traditional marriage, male and female, created them, and marrying a man and a woman together to then bring children into the world and raise them in righteousness. in, you know, an understanding of God and who he is and that he loves us. And we have a godly heritage. He's our Father in heaven. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. Okay, that's the family idea. Traditional God-ordained families. On the God idea, though, it's honesty. It's morality in all that we do, ladies and gentlemen. If you want your hearts not to fail you, then turn to God and gain a little trust in him. I know the world seems crazy gnarly out there, but I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can have honesty in your own dealings. You can turn to God for comfort and stability. You can pray and know that he's there and that he cares. And when you do that, pretty soon, things get better and more stable on all fronts of God, family, and country. How to recover from a broken heart, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to get all kinds of stuff from a lot of people on this topic. But I would go back and double down in defense of all the things of God. There's a book that I'm reading right now called Tender Warrior, Brian. It's called Tender Warrior, and then the subheading says this: every man's purpose, every woman's dream, every child's hope. Stu Weber wrote the book. Kind of an interesting idea, though, is that, hey, we can be the godly men that our Father in heaven intended us to be. And when we are, we become tender warriors. Every man's purpose, every woman's dream, and every child's hope. The question is, are you a tender warrior? Anyway, great stuff. But I believe there's solutions to this, Brian. And I don't believe anybody's really pointing to them, my brother.
I think you're right on. I think you've hit it. I think, you know, the collapse of society is, you know, morality and take away God. And you know, you go back to, you know, the Roman Empire and all these societies that collapsed. Well, it was corruption and it was, you know, and threatening the citizens. I mean, just all this stuff. And especially you remove God, you know, and that, and you can't pray or you can't do this or anything to do with God. If you bring that up, we can't have it. Well, the decline of society. I mean, just go, you can see it back in history. Now, maybe today most people don't want to go, oh, we can't look at back in history. Let's tear down the statues. Let's do all, we don't want to look at that. Well, maybe we need to. But I think Tender Warrior sounds like a good idea.
Brian Rust, a.k.a. Dr. Honest Money, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio. We're talking about this. This is serious stuff, man. Yeah. It's important to really understand what we're doing, what we're working on, what we're spending our time on. And I really submit to you that if you get honest money in your portfolio, constitutional currency, gold and silver, rustcoinandgift.com to help with that. You get a little bit of food. You do some things to stabilize your jobs. You get out of debt. All these things come back to you're not going to have a broken heart. You're going to think things are sad in the world. You're going to struggle because life's hard. But you're not going to have a broken heart that you got to recover from or maybe die from. Men are dying because their hearts are failing them. You're going to have a relationship with God, Brian. And I submit when you have that, that's the key here to not only have a relationship with God, but then to keep his commandments. In that is safety. In that says, no broken heart for me, Brian.
Absolutely. Amen, brother. You got it.
All right. I just wanted to bring that up. Anything we ought to know about the coin world right now that's going on?
Well, yeah, I think we just need to be preparing, whether it be just a little bit here every day, every week, whatever you can. I'm not a fan of jumping into debt. I'm not that guy. So basically, you have some extra money, some extra savings. Yeah, put it away. Prepare. Peace of mind. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to rush into belligerent debt, don't call Brian. Do not call Brian. On the other hand, if you want a friend in the coin business, if you want someone to stir you right, then get a hold of Dr. Honest Money. Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. Thank you, my friend. We'll chat soon.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Great show.
He's always on your radio. He's always telling the tale of truth. He's always standing for what's right. This is your Honest Money Report on Liberty Roundtable Live every Thursday. We break it down just for you. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Always free and always available via lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. And best of all, you can donate if you have the heart to help. libertyroundtable.com. God save the Republic.